The First Thing is First Thing with Mike Parsons and Renee Vitale on 760 WJR and on the WJR app, where Michigan comes to talk.
Man, what is going on at Troy Beaumont? They've done been through it lately, haven't they?
Oh, my goodness. Let's add in a bomb threat to the pile of things happening over there lately.
Right. I mean, we still remember that non-fatal shooting that happened between two employees back in March. And now yesterday, it was Oakland University Police. They issued an evacuation advisory to university staff at Troy Beaumont saying there was a bomb threat. The advisory was issued around 7:50 and an all clear was given around 9:17. But, you know, no further details have been released. But I mean, it's kind of bizarre that it was only the OU Police Department that seemed like they were issuing an advisory. I don't know why it wasn't hospital staff or local police.
Yeah, especially because they said that they found a note in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
But still, why wouldn't that have been hospital police? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my guess is that Oakland University and Troy Beaumont or Beaumont, Corwell, whatever, have some kind of agreement because I know that OU has a medical school now. But yeah,
resources.
Right. But yeah, it's just kind of odd that it was only Oakland University Police.
Yeah.
And, you know, Troy Beaumont, I think, you know, it has a soft spot in my heart. I think it has a soft spot in a lot of Metro Detroiters' hearts because, you know, late in my father's life when he was battling MS and going through all these struggles associated with, we took him to different hospitals, like if he was having an emergency and stuff. And Troy Beaumont, we would drive a little bit further to Troy Beaumont just because he got the best care there.
Yeah, it's a great hospital. I've had family there as well. And yeah, you're right. There is something special about that hospital.
Yeah. And I think that much like the shooting, you kind of put yourself in the place of the people who work there, the patients there, the families mm-hmm. of patients there, because you're not more vulnerable than when you're in the hospital as a patient.
Sure.
So that leads to an extra layer of kind of concern and scariness and danger. So glad it was all clear. And it sounds like whoever was tasked with clearing the building did a good job of a quick job of it. Meanwhile, if you were in doing an afternoon traffic shift yesterday, you probably would have spent most of your time talking about what there's like a cooking oil spill out in front of the Better Made plant.
Yeah, I actually started talking about this towards the end of my shift yesterday. Gallons of it spilled onto the ground after a crash near the Better Made factory in Detroit yesterday morning. Fire department said that the tanker truck was making a delivery to the potato chip factory on Gratiot when the crash happened, sending 700 gallons of cooking oil.
That's a lot of kitty litter to cleaning that up.
I was like, how do you do that? Right. I mean, do you use Dawn? What do you do with that? See the fire department out there spraying it everywhere?
Right. Hey. You gotta take a break from bathing these baby ducks. We need all that dish soap to clean up this potato chip oil or whatnot.
Doesn't this sound like something that would have been a Looney Tunes cartoon with like Wile E. Coyote or something? I don't know.
Hey, you know, all you need is a sour cream and onion spill and a Faygo spill. You got yourself a block party.
In the cartoon, it would have a truck that says Acme Oil on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right.
An anvil would fall on someone's head.
Wah, wah.
Well, I'm guessing that's been cleaned up. But yeah, what an absolute pain for whoever had to clear that up, because if anyone knows, anything oil-based is just that much tougher to deal with when you have to clean something up.
Right, and then, I mean, fortunately, none of it went into the sewers, which I guess could have been a whole other issue had that happened. So it sounds like they got it all cleaned up. I don't know.
Are our local Better Made prices going to go up temporarily?
Isn't it sad that I thought that myself? Like, oh, no, don't raise the price of chips, not our Better Maids.
Dang it. That was the one thing that was tariff proof.
I know. Hot barbecue. Yeah. Please don't go up.
Yeah. You know what? There is no better use for a Better Made potato chip than adding a little crunch in your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I have not tried that.
Well, today is the first day of the rest of your life because there's something about the pairing of Better Made Themselves and peanut butter and jelly. You know, maybe it's the nostalgia thing, but give it a try next time you find yourself eating peanut butter and jelly and potato chips at the same time.
Your palate is so sophisticated.
No, I'm a simple man. All right. Well, the fun time is over. The latest in L.A. descending into a dystopian Kurt Russell movie. Governor Gavin Newsom, he's asked the federal court to block Donald Trump from using the National Guard and Marines to assist with immigration raids in L.A. A hearing is set for tomorrow. Now, Governor Newsom is asking for this because the National Guard has gone from protecting federal property as their main objective, to assisting ICE by establishing a protective perimeter around them while they conduct their raids. And they might not be going anywhere anytime soon. The Trump administration said the raids could last for 60 days. So now it's almost going to be like ICE and the National Guard are like an occupying force in LA. Defense officials said that the Pentagon has spent $134 million to deploy those 4,000 National Guard troops and the 700 Marines so far. Bryn McDonnell, he is a special assistant to the Secretary of Defense. He said the cost of the 60-day deployment for travel, housing, and food is coming out of operations and maintenance accounts. And my question is, how much is this military parade going to cost on Saturday?
Well, my question was, if it's still going to happen with all of this happening, it just doesn't seem, I don't know, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, the juxtaposition of this military parade plus what's going on in LA and other countries, I think we're, and I'm overusing this word dystopian, but there's really no other word I can think of. I think it adds to kind of that dystopian look.
And it's, I think it's the president's birthday celebration on top of it.
It's, yeah, it's technically his birthday, but he's saying it's for the Army's 250th birthday.
Like, let's postpone it a week. I don't know. It just seems weird to me to have something like that going on with all of this happening because it's not just in LA now. I mean, there's you know, it's spreading to other cities.
Yeah. And actually I'm keeping a running list and I'm sure that this is not complete. San Francisco, 150 people have been arrested at last count. There's big demonstrations, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, 12 people. Last I heard, have been arrested during demonstrations in New York. There was a large protest in Chicago. Other smaller, similar protests, Atlanta, Boston, and Seattle. Over the weekend, there were some protests here in Detroit. As far as I know, there were no arrests. That stayed mostly peaceful. But a number of No King protests are being organized for Saturday to protest the National Guard being called in to LA and these other places, as well as the military parade. And of course, President Trump has vowed that protests will be met with very big force. Now, does he mean any and all protests or the ones that just get violent? And then what does very big force mean?
Yeah, it's all very vague.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Saturday, you know, it might be a very tense day. I hope everyone stays peaceful and everyone stays safe. But yeah, I mean, this situation in LA seems like it's not ending anytime soon. And like you said, Renee, it seems like it's spreading to other parts of the country.
Right.
So we'll keep an eye on all of that. We'll get you caught up on your headlines after the bottom of the hour. It's First Thing, Mike Parsons, Renee Vitale, WJR. And we are heading into JR morning. Jamie is out, so Chris Renwick and Lloyd Jackson join us. And let me ask, has everyone gotten their new real ID yet? I will come clean. I haven't.
We had this conversation, Chris Renwick, not too long ago. Maybe.
Yesterday.
Okay, that's what I thought. We had this conversation.
I flew the first day of them putting that rule into effect that you had to have your real ID. It was surprisingly smooth.
Now, did you use your Costco card as your real ID?
No, I did not.
For the listeners out there, that is going to be a promo that I made from yesterday's show about the Costco ID.
Oh.
Oh, Oh, boy.
All right. Uh-oh. Well, we'll keep an ear out for that. Yeah. Why? What happened? Did someone on the show try to fly using their Costco card as their real ID, as been the rumor going around Reddit and Chowhound?
Let me tell you, man. If somebody, you're talking about looking for trouble. You know, you go to the airport and you pull out the Costco card for your real ID, and, you know, the TSA person says, oh, well, sir, no, you can't use that. That's not a real ID. And then somebody gets angry and it starts a whole deal.
What do you mean this isn't a real ID? Look it. I've got my face on it. Here's my, this is an identification.
And you got 50 people behind this guy saying, dude.
Well, the thing is there is a gold star on your Costco card, and I'm thinking that's how this started.
Oh,
I'm trying to make sense of what does not make any sense. That's all I could come up with, because I looked at my mom's. I'm like, okay, there's a gold star. Is this what we're going with?
There have been stories on TV, in the newspapers, about the real ID.
Right.
I don't recall them saying the Costco card.
The real Costco card.
Can also, you know, substitute for this if you don't. Yeah, come on.
I love that the TSA had to put something out that said, we love hot dogs and rotisserie chickens as much as the next person, but please stop telling people their Costco card.
I mean, that's
counts.
Sad that they had to even do that.
I imagine that there's a lot of overlap between the people trying to use their Costco card as a real ID and those folks that you're stuck behind at a U-Scan who have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, the worst.
Or the ones who, you know, put their card in and stuff, and they're paying for things, and the card's not working. They make it seem like the machine is broken.
Right.
But really, you just don't have the money.
Yeah, they're not overdrafted.
Yeah.
They're not overdrafted. It's the stupid credit card machine.
Exactly.
I will say, that has happened to me. And you feel like you have to give your life story and amounts. I have so much money in there. I just... Right.
The worst is when you have to hit the button to call for help.
Yeah.
Like, and the big light starts flashing, and everybody's looking at you.
Well, that's happened to me lately. My card, for some reason, the tap doesn't work. Right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you insert it, it's fine. Chip is good. There's just some sort of error.
Yeah.
So I was somewhere and the guy's trying to scan it and he's like looking at me and I'm like, it's good. And he's like, and I like forgot to mention to him. I'm like, could you just insert it and stuff? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I got to call the, he's like, you really should call the bank. I'm like, yeah, thanks. I know.
Sir, oh my God.
Sir, if you need financial assistance, there are resources available to you.
We could have Chris Alberta have a chat with you. Make smarter decisions
for
us.
For real.
You know, since we're on the topic.
By the way, can lawmakers pass a law to send somebody straight to jail if they give TSA a Costco card? Just right to jail.
Right. You shouldn't be
right
lying.
To jail.
You have bigger fish to fry. There's a lot of issues going on.
You're immediately on a watch list, not for terrorists,
right,
just idiots.
Right to Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
But here's the other thing, too. Just as society got used to inserting their card chip up, all of a sudden, all the machines switch to now you have to insert your card face down.
What?
So there's no smooth way to do a transaction anymore.
Yeah, and, I'm trying to think of where I was. I was somewhere, and I tried to put my card in face up, and no, I had to turn it face down. It was weird.
And you're like, sir, it has to be face down. Well, that wasn't the norm a month ago. J.R. Marty coming up. The National Guard is expanding its role in L.A. as protests expand around the country.
Yeah, police began mass arrests of protesters after an emergency curfew came into effect for part of downtown Los Angeles. That'll be in place until 6 a.m. local time, and that'll likely be in effect for a few days. Protests similar to those in L.A. are increasingly popping up in major U.S. cities, including New York, Chicago, Austin, Washington, D.C. More demonstrations planned this week and weekend, and then on Tuesday, federal judge denied California's request to immediately block the Trump administration from using Marines and the National Guard to enforce laws in the state and set a hearing for Thursday. President Trump said yesterday that the National Guard will stay in L.A. until there is no danger. About 700 Marines have been activated to help protect federal personnel and property, and Trump's defending his decision to mobilize another 2,000 National Guard members, a doubling of his initial deployment of those troops. A Pentagon official told Congress that the mobilization will cost the Defense Department roughly $134 million. And Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass slammed Trump's action, saying that deploying military personnel is not needed, but also said that those involved in violence and vandalism will be prosecuted.
A Detroit high school student facing deportation after being arrested by Border Patrol in May while on a field trip is now pleading with ICE to release him so that he can graduate. He's gained the support of some advocates as well as Congressman Sri Tanadar, who said Tuesday that the student should be released immediately and allowed to get his diploma. The young man is 18-year-old Michael Duarte. He was stopped by a Rockwood police officer on May 20th while on his way to a downriver park. He was accused of tailgating the officer. Now, the police officer was driving an unmarked car. He called Border Patrol because of a language barrier. And Duarte, an immigrant from Colombia, he was later transported 5 hours north to an ICE detention center at the Chippewa County Correctional Facility in Sault Ste. Marie. And now he's in a detention center down in Louisiana. He has no criminal record and has lost his appeal to stay in the United States. A big settlement between Michigan State University and the victims of a mass shooting a couple of years ago.
Yeah, three victims who were injured at that mass shooting on Michigan State University's campus in 2023 have reached a multi-million dollar settlement with the college. In February 23, a gunman walked onto campus and killed three students as well as injuring five others at Berkey Hall and the MSU Union. Three of the five injured reached settlements with the university totaling $29.75 million. All three students suffered life-altering gunshot wounds, and the law firms representing the students said in a joint statement that these settlements bring closure to one chapter of these survivors' healing journeys.
Some good news. General Motors plans to invest $4 billion to move production from Mexico to three plants here in the United States, including the Orion Assembly plant here in suburban Detroit. This, according to three sources familiar with the situation and the Detroit News, full-size SUVs and light-duty pickup trucks. Those are the ones that are coming to the Orion plant, which has been retooled to build electric trucks before market demand waned. And I think, if I remember correctly, that plant was closed temporarily to retool for EVs. And then once that production waned, I think the closure was extended as they detooled, for lack of a better word. The gas-powered Equinox compact SUV, that is going to Fairfax, Kansas, and the gas-powered Blazer is going to Spring Hill, Tennessee. The move is partly driven by increased demand for high-profit SUVs and partly an effort to limit exposure to Trump's tariffs. Of course, Trump's goal was to force a manufacturing renaissance in the industrial heartland and beyond. When GM announced plans to reopen Orion in 2022, the state estimated the project would create 2,300 jobs and retain 1,000 jobs. Speaking of autos, we might not be seeing tariffs affecting the sticker price of new vehicles just yet, but that doesn't mean they're not going up. Bloomberg auto business reporter Keith Naughton, he discusses something called stealth price increases with Chris and Lloyd on JR Morning.
You know, as these tariffs continue to linger and as the automotive industry braces for what could come in the coming weeks, there is some efforts underway by the automakers to raise prices, maybe modestly, but not so much using the sticker. It's an interesting look at how some of the OEMs are trying to recoup some of this money. It's the topic of Mobility Makers today, brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone, visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. We welcome in Keith Naughton, the Bloomberg auto business reporter, who joins us this morning. Keith, good to have you back.
Thanks, Chris.
This is very interesting because these stealth ways that they're increasing prices, hiking prices, all to combat Donald Trump's tariffs on the industry.
Yeah, and what they're doing is rather than raising the sticker price, they are decreasing incentives, you know, lower rebates. They are decreasing or eliminating finance deals. Sort of the things that gave you discounts on your cars are shrinking or going away altogether. The monthly price increase from March to April was the highest in 5 years, but sticker prices didn't change that much.
You know, Keith, what does this shift mean for consumers at the dealership? I mean, can a car buyer, can I still find a deal, or is that era kind of quietly ended for now?
There are deals out there, but they're getting smaller and kind of time is running out. What's on the lots now is a shrinking stockpile of pre-tariff cars. So as the cars with tariffs arrive, which is expected to be happening this month, the prices are going to go up. And we are going to see sticker price increases. Ford announced it was increasing the price of the three models they make down in Mexico, the Maverick, the Bronco Sport, and the Mustang Mach-E. We're going to see increases from others as well, Subaru, Hyundai. But what they're doing to keep buyers coming is doing these stealth price increases, increasing the destination and delivery charges, increasing the price of floor mats, all sorts of things that will get more revenue coming in for the automakers and help them offset the higher costs from tariffs.
Are they still pleased with the sales that they're doing at this point?
You know, they've had good sales over the past 3 months because there's been this rush to the dealership to get the pre-tariff cars before they're gone. But in each month from March to April to May, we saw a successive decline in the sales rate. Mm. So once we get to the end of those pre-tariff cars, the concern is that sales will really decline.
When you look at strategy, Keith, I mean, are the automakers trying to avoid that public backlash and the political consequences, you know, like especially from President Trump himself? I mean, as you know, Walmart, they got hammered by the president on social media for price hikes. And are car makers trying to kind of sidestep that attention?
Absolutely. They don't want to be caught in the crosshairs the way Walmart was. The president will do tweets on Truth Social. And in Walmart's case, he told them to eat the costs of the tariffs. So it is something they would like to avoid. The automakers are still negotiating with the White House to try and get some breaks on the tariffs. And so they really don't want to provoke him.
As you report in your piece, Cox Automotive is forecasting that the price of these imported cars could go up 10 to 15%. How does that impact the overall industry? What does it do to the used car market?
Yeah, well, we're seeing used car prices going up too. The average price of a used car is close to $30,000. The average price of a new car is close to $50,000. We're really in near record territory on car prices right now. And as what Cox is saying, as prices go up by that much, they probably won't go up in one big 10 or 15% chunk. Mm-hmm. They're going to go up in these smaller increments that the automakers hope are kind of invisible. But ultimately, consumers will become aware of this when they see monthly payments increasing by hundreds, and they will walk away. That's why, you know, J.D. Power and Cox see auto sales going down this year.
We're speaking with Keith Naughton, Bloomberg Auto Business Reporter. Could this pricing pressure, Keith, like push buyers towards, you know, used vehicles, maybe even delay their purchases or shift demand like toward like the non-traditional options like EVs or leases?
Yeah, they can absolutely head to the used vehicle market. But if that increases demand for used vehicles, it will increase the price of those used vehicles. EVs are not going to give them price relief. The average price of an EV is close to $60,000 right now. So it's going to be very tough going forward to get a real good deal on the car because of the tariff costs that are coming in. You know, Ford has said tariffs are going to cost them $2.5 billion. They helped offset about $1 billion of that. GM also is talking about billions of costs from tariffs. They bring in lots of cars from Korea in addition to Mexico and Canada. So, you know, there's no way to avoid those higher costs, which lead to higher prices, which leads to lower sales.
Are automakers quietly kind of walking away from the budget buyer?
Well, that's the concern with the tariffs, because so many of these cars that are made overseas, Lloyd, are the economy cars. GM brings in more than 400,000 cars from South Korea each year, and they are their lowest priced cars, like the Chevy Trax that starts around $20,000. So if tariffs are going to increase the price of those cars by 25%, they're not going to be affordable for entry-level buyers.
I was down in Nashville a week and a half ago, and I passed a Ford dealership, and they had a big sign that talked about the family plan, the family deal that they were able to give out to everybody that walked into the dealership. And that has paid dividends for the Blue Oval. Are we going to see more automakers go to that model to try to bring people in as prices may go up?
Yeah, Ford has its employee discounts for everyone plan, and Stellantis matched that, so you can get that also on a on a Dodge and a Jeep. So those two automakers are doing that, but those programs in Stellantis's case run to the end of June, I believe, and with Ford it's going to run through the 4th of July weekend, and then those will be gone, and they sort of coincide with when the pre-tariff stockpiles are expected to dwindle down. Mm. So after the 4th, it's going to be harder to find deals like that.
President Trump wrapped up his war of words with Elon Musk just in time to start a new one with California Governor Gavin Newsom.
Roshini Rajkumar, host of the Crisis Files podcast, breaks down the newest feud with Marie Osborne on All Talk.
So President Trump has threatened the California Governor Gavin Newsom with arrest. And the quote is, "I would do it," he said. And he said he would back his administration's border czar, who originally said that he would make that kind of arrest. We love talking politics with Roshini Rajkumar, an attorney, political strategist, host of the Crisis Files. She's joining us to chat a little bit about what that kind of threat really means. And who's coming out ahead in the optics of this really incredible situation that's unfolding in Los Angeles? Hi, Roshini. Glad to have you on board.
Great to be with you, Marie. I mean, this is just going to be the worst war on words, I'm predicting. It's already pretty bad.
Oh, wait a minute. Even worse than Musk and Trump last week?
You know, it's pretty darn close. I think the Musk and Trump, it's sort of like, that was maybe waiting to happen, even though there were a lot of things flung there. But this is actually so connected to something that's real and on the ground right now, and that is those riots in LA. Mm-hmm. You never want the visual of a governor of any state being arrested. And it's no big secret that Trump and Newsom are not buddies, but this would be terrible for Newsom to be arrested. And I really hope it doesn't get to that, Marie.
Yeah, because, again, you are looking at optics here and what that would look like. Let's talk a little bit about what just the general tenor of what's happening in Los Angeles. You know, there's this divide in the big shock in the country over people who believe that the president is completely within his rights to send in the National Guard to help quell the violence that's happening there. There's no question there is violence that's happening there. Meanwhile, you've got officials in California saying, look, you know, we can handle this. We have it under control. It's the National Guard and that presence of the military in the situation, which is inflaming the situation, making it worse, in other words. And so it seems, though, to me that the Democrats who are saying, look, we've got this under the control, that they may be on the short end of the stick here, that I think that most people would agree that something had to be done in Los Angeles.
Right. I mean, I think we've been thinking about that even since the LA fires. I mean, there's definitely a loss of government and control and the sense of safety in the Los Angeles area. And if nothing else, the United States is supposed to be a land of law and order, okay? And regardless of what your take is about police, I mean, there are really great police officers and there are some bad eggs, and I'm not going to disagree with that. But Marie, I just have to remind your listeners that I am based in a city that a few years ago, part of which burned down, and that's the city of Minneapolis. And the governor of Minnesota, my state's governor, who's still the governor, did not call in the National Guard when the mayor of Minneapolis asked for the National Guard. So we saw very visual optics of how bad that was for Minneapolis in 2020. And I don't think any city, any, whether it's a leader or a citizen, wants what happened in Minneapolis and the riots that happened to happen to LA, because LA is a much bigger city. There are even more repercussions. So I think there is a sense of, if the National Guard is there, maybe the citizenry will feel safer. Do I want them to act very carefully and respectfully? Absolutely. But if there are bombs and whatever, firecrackers, vandalism, and looting going on, the law enforcement has to handle that so that the rest of the citizens, which are most of the people in LA, right? It's a minority of people in LA who are rioting. The majority deserve to be protected.
In fact, Democrat Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, I don't know if you saw this, he came out on X yesterday and commented on this, and he says, I unapologetically stand for free speech, peaceful demonstrations, and immigration, but this is not that. This is anarchy and true chaos. My party loses the moral high ground when we refuse to condemn setting cars on fire, destroying buildings, and assaulting law enforcement. Do you agree with that assessment?
You know, Senator Fetterman said it very well. I could not say that any better. What I will add is, a lot of times, in the name of the First Amendment, in the name of free speech, which is practically a sacred thing in the United States, people think they can do anything. And that's just not the case. When you cause violence, when you cause destruction, when you cause loss of property and loss of lives or injury, you are not using the free speech and the First Amendment in the way it was written many, many decades ago.
All right. Playing big devil's advocate here just for a moment. This morning, I think the president said this morning, where he was talking about how the leadership in Los Angeles is completely inept. And he referenced the wildfires that occurred and how there was massive destruction and they just didn't know how to handle the whole thing. He's particularly targeting the mayor of Los Angeles, Mayor Bass, and then Gavin Newsom, the governor, in this. And of course, they're both Democrats. And so a lot of people feel like the president here is bigfooting local authority. Look, we all have our elected leaders here. We have them here in Michigan. You have them in Minnesota. That they're, we've elected them to make decisions like this, and that the president is just bigfooting this and inflaming the problem instead of trying to quell what's happening here.
Yeah, I mean, the president actually has some facts on his side. He shouldn't need to bigfoot. He should just talk about what is good leadership, what is safety, where do most of the people feel, what actions would make them feel safer. And he should stick to those facts and stick to the optics that actually right now could really work in the president's favor if he doesn't politic it.
Yes, but we're dealing with Donald Trump here, right? So that's he can't help himself sometimes, right?
Yeah, and neither can Gavin Newsom.
You better believe
the governor of California loves all this attention and the mudslinging he's doing toward Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no question about it. We're both very big personalities here to deal with this. Also, there's the criticism, and we heard it from one of our reporters earlier today. She didn't present it as a criticism, but it is something that I've heard before. And that is that, with the calling in of the National Guard and calling in with these other national, like the military, that you have to have somebody in charge of this situation. And right now, it doesn't look like they know, or even we know, who's in charge. Is it the National Guard? Is it the local law enforcement? Is it the Marines that might be sent in? I mean, how do we know who's in charge?
So the Los Angeles PD is the second biggest law enforcement entity in the United States. The LAPD knows what it's doing. I would look at the National Guard, as well as if these Marines do come in, as a support mechanism for the LAPD. So in this kind of situation, unless things get worse than they are now, the LAPD should be in charge. That's who should be in charge. There is really kind of no two ways about that. and the National Guard is there to back up the law enforcement on the ground, the LAPD. The difference in this situation is that the president sent in the National Guard without any request from Governor Newsom. That's really the difference, and that's what I think is really kicking him off and is kicking off a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not unprecedented. The president can do that. And there were probably, Marie, a little bit of politics involved there. But what I will say is someone who very much vividly remembers my city burning down and the National Guard were requested and the governor, the Minnesota Guard was requested. The governor did not send that in to the city of Minneapolis. That was complete mayhem. And I would not want that for L.A.